Okay, I have a special helper. He's going to come up and read our opening scripture. We're going to be looking at the whole passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from 1 to 15, but because it's a large chunk, I've broken it into little pieces. And the first piece is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 and 2.
Dear brothers and sisters, when I first came to you, I didn't use lofty words and brilliant ideas to tell you God's message, for I decided to concentrate only on Jesus Christ and his death on the cross.
Amen. So our first two scriptures was focusing on Jesus Christ and him crucified. And our next two scriptures, if you grab the reading, is going to be spoken and read to us by Ben, is 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 and 5.
I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. I did not use wise and persuasive speeches, but the Holy Spirit was powerful among you. I did this so you might trust the power of God rather than the human wisdom.
Trusting in the power of God rather than human wisdom.
6 to 10. Okay. Yet when I am among mature Christians, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, and not the kind that appeals to the rulers of this world, who are being brought to nothing. No, the wisdom we speak is of the secret wisdom of God, which was hidden in former times, though he made it for our benefit before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would have never crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But we know these things. We know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And his Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets.
Thank you. There's a mystery that God reveals to us. Okay, and I need another volunteer to read the next portion of our scripture. Two verses this time, verses 11 and 12.
No one can know a person's thoughts except when that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us.
Okay, amen. Our final reading, 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 16.
When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ.
Amen. Thank you very much. We have the mind of Christ, and we can understand the things because God talks to our spirits. As we prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, we pray, through your Spirit, through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is Spiritually Discerned. John 14:26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you everything I have said to you." It's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of all the things that Jesus says to us. I always used to wonder why it was unbelievers were just that, unbelievers. And then it really occurred to me that the reason, one of the reasons why they didn't accept the gospel or they just thought it was foolishness is because they were trying to understand it with their minds, trying to make sense of it. Yet, as our reading says, even the devil didn't make sense of it. Because had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of hosts. And it is foolishness that a man should die on the cross and that we, because of that sacrifice, should be saved. The mysteries of God are spiritually discerned. In Mark 4, verse 11, when the disciples were wondering what on earth Jesus was talking about, as they did on time to time, he says to them, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but that to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand." So we who are in the kingdom, we have been given the ability to understand these mysteries of God. And the ability doesn't come through mental cognition. It comes through that spiritual discernment. So I've got a few points. And my first point is found in our first two verses. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And Paul says that when he came to them, he wasn't coming with fancy words. And we know he was quite a learned person. But he wasn't coming to them with all his learning, with all of his man's wisdom. He says, "I came to you on a foundation to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And too often, when you've been a Christian for a long time, you feel, well, maybe that's a little bit too basic, you know. We kind of switch off when it comes to the altar call. We think maybe there's something deeper. We need deeper revelation. And there are deeper revelations and deeper mysteries in God, but you can never leave that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We often go chasing after new doctrines, new fads, new fashions. I don't know if you've been a Christian long enough, you'll be familiar with the Toronto blessing. People were jumping on planes to go over to get that blessing because it was something new. Sometimes it's preachers that we chase after. Have you heard the latest? Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, both of whom I love and both of whom I listen to frequently. However, never losing sight of the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And never losing sight of the fact that it is the Holy Spirit that can speak through them. It is not them. They are just vessels. And sometimes as humans, they may get it wrong. And therefore, I need to be tuned into my spiritual discernment to hear if they do make a mistake or if they do get it wrong. And not to go boasting about Osteen or Myers or whoever the latest person, hot preacher might be. Paul rebukes the Galatians for losing sight on their foundation in Christ and looking to the latest preachers. He says in 1:6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into grace of the Christ to another gospel." He goes on to say, "The gospel I preach to you is not of human origin. I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." And later he says, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Every person who has given their lives to Christ has been wooed by God. Jesus woos you. He comes after us. And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts your spirit of sin. And then we surrender to him. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the transformation that takes place is inside of us. It is a total mystery. As Nicodemus is like, what do you mean born again? What is that expression, born again? And it's not a mental thing. You can't actually even visualize it. What, can I, a full-grown man, enter into my mother's womb and come out again? You say, no. Born of the Spirit. That is the mystery. If we try to understand it with our carnal mind, it seems foolish. And that's why I think a lot of people draw back because it's like you want to add something to it. It's awkward. You try and dress it up. How do you explain to your colleagues, to people that you meet, that you are a Christian, that this is something that Jesus actually, you're looking at my flesh, but inside me, the Spirit of God is dwelling. You know, I can't separate myself. I can't explain it to you properly. And so we try and dress it up and look for acceptable wordings. And we sometimes are afraid to call sin sin because that doesn't sound popular. People don't like to hear that word. Somebody said to me, I can't tell somebody that they're a sinner. Well, no, it's not for us to point out and say who is sinners, but sin is sin. And we need to recognize it in our own lives first before you go pointing somebody else's life. But let's not pretend it's something else. We sometimes say, oh, it's missing the mark. Or we excuse people because, well, you know, it's their upbringing. It's the way they were raised. They can't help themselves. But I think sometimes that's just trying to justify it to our carnal mind, the gospel truth. And in Romans 1:16 says we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God to salvation. Don't be afraid if you can't really explain it fully, because people, especially when they want to try and get you into get you tongue-tied, they want you to justify it mentally. And there is a whole school of thought, apologetics. We had a seminar the other day, apologetics, which is looking at all the evidence and looking at the archaeological finds and the scriptures and all of those sites. And then there are ways you can justify it carnally, but that really doesn't really get people saved, because you have to understand it spiritually and to realize, as Paul says, there's no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is our foundation, and we can never and should never move on from that foundation. Yes, we understand it more fully, but we will never fully understand it. I don't fully understand it. I don't know if anybody is here that fully understand salvation, because it's like, it's a mystery. It's like, I just thank God I'm saved. And at the end of the day, when people are getting me tied up, I just say, I don't know how it all works. I just know if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That's what my Bible tells me. Why don't you give it a try? Stop going round and round and round in houses. So the first point is the foundation, which is Jesus. Again, spiritually discerned. The second point in our next two verses was about our faith not resting in the wisdom of men, but trusting in the power of God. We are born of the Spirit, and that's an internal thing. And the Bible says that we are born of the Spirit, not of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That power is that dynamite type power. God is strong. God is able to do so many different things. He goes on to say, therefore, because I trust in the powerhouse of God and the power that he has vested in me, I will not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And then he says, for I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. The Greek word is complete trust. Pistuo. To be fully convinced, to be fully reliant, personally trusting, and that trust which produces obedience. That's what that word trust means. I don't know if you've heard of the gentleman who, and I don't know if it's a true story or not, it's kind of, but I think it was Niagara Falls, and he was a tightrope walker, and he walked across Niagara Falls, in those days when you could do those things, and health and safety didn't kind of wrap you up in red tape. So he walked across Niagara Falls, and everybody was like, yay, way, way, woo. And when he got there, he said, do you think I could walk back again to the other side? They're like, you can do it, woohoo, we believe you can. He said, do you think I can do it with a wheelbarrow? Woo-hoo-hoo! Yes, yes, you can do it with a wheelbarrow. So he gets this wheelbarrow. You believe I can do it? Yeah. He says, okay, get into the wheelbarrow. I was like, And then all of a sudden, a little boy comes through the audience and jumps into the wheelbarrow. and the man sets off. That little boy was the son of the man, had complete trust in his father, and was able to reach the other side. Okay. Do we trust God enough to jump into his wheelbarrow? You know, what chasm are you crossing at the moment? Can you see him bringing you through to the other side? Or are you just cheering from the edge? Yay, go God, go. But you're refusing to get into that wheelbarrow. What's plaguing your mind? What are those thoughts? What are you dreaming of? What are you believing God for? Can you trust him in your grief? Can you trust him in your pain and in your brokenness? Can you trust that he is able, like Paul, to keep what you have committed to him until that day? For he is able to accomplish above all you could ever hope or dream. Trust him. He's got this. Our job is just to stand firm. You just stay in the barrel. He's going to get you to the other side. Don't look down. Sometimes just look up. You keep praying. You keep trusting. You keep looking to him. He will not fail. It may not be as you think, but he will surely get you to the other side. My next point is about spiritual discernment. Spiritually discerned. There's three types of people that the Bible talks about. And it talks about the natural man. The natural man is the person who's unregenerated, hasn't given his life to Christ, hasn't been born of the Spirit. Then it talks about the spiritual man, who can understand all things. And then it talks about the carnal man. Let's look at what it says about the carnal man. 1 Corinthians, in our passage, but following on from our passage, I should say, verses 3 to 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. Where there is envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So basically, what Paul is saying there is that because you're not walking in the maturity, you're not allowing your spirit to be fed by the Spirit of God, you are walking in the flesh, walking as mere men. What difference is there between you and the person that hasn't accepted Christ? If there is none, then we are walking as mere natural men. There should be a difference. We should be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. And as we are led by the Spirit of God, he reveals himself to us. Christ in you. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says that these mysteries have been hidden from ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, and that is Christ in you. That mystery, mysterion, is a secret known only to the initiated. It's not hidden. It's not, well, somebody said they were hidden, Roberta, hidden in plain sight. That's what God has done with these mysteries. They are hidden in plain sight. So you have a problem. Part of the mystery of solving that problem is to pray. That is a mystery. Somebody once said to me, well, if God's going to do something, isn't it a bit cruel that he has to wait for you to pray? Well, how do you answer that? I said, I don't know if it is cruel. I could start getting into debating it, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it is cruel, personally. If I've got, you know, a bank account with £1 million in there, you know, I'm not just going to leave it on the street corner. I'm going to create ways for you to access that £1 million. You've got a checkbook, you've got to have a card, you've got to have something to key into those riches. And prayer, to me, is God's way in. That's how we tap into. It's not understanding it with our head, but it's taking time to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And sometimes we just need to stop and be still. Psalm 46:10 talks about be still and know that I am God. And life is just so busy. There's just so many things to do. I spent some time with people who are retired, and they tell me just how busy they are. It's like, you know, when did I have time to go to work? You know, it's like, you know, you think if you're working and you think when I retire, I will no longer be busy, think again. You know, I thought I'd cut down my work from 5 to 4 days and then I'd have a lot of free time. I'm so busy. It's like, where's the busyness? And really, what the Bible tells us in Psalm 46 is stop. Stop. Just take a minute out. And that little boy's frozen. Stop. No, you weren't being naughty, it's okay. Stop. See, in that Psalm 46:10, there's a lot of fracas going on before it gets there. And it's a declaration to stop. Stop the striving, stop the debating, stop the boasting, stop the squabbling, stop the thrusting and the jockeying for position, for wealth. Stop with the ideology. Stop, 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 stop. And know that I am God. How are we doing with that? How are we doing with that? Because you can just be so busy. And that's when you start to walk as mere men. And rather than just, which, you know, I for many years did, you know, kept God to the first time in the morning or the last time at night. But how about as we're going through the day, we stop and we take a few moments to acknowledge God in that place. It only takes a minute. He's only a breath away. Stop. You know, it's nice actually to say grace before food because that's a moment to stop. And to be give thanks, you know. What other times can we stop and we give thanks? Because as we stop, then we can know that God is God. He's not going to be, you know, be shouting, I say, you know. It's a still, small voice. He speaks to our spirits. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Paul prayed for the Ephesians in 1:17 that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of his calling. And we can pray that too over our lives. Say, God, what are you saying to me here in this moment? Recently, was speaking to a lady who was delayed at the airport. Now, we can have the usual mere man reaction. Get annoyed, and start all of that. The train's been cancelled. Or we can start to say, stop. Lord, is there somebody here you'd like me to speak to? Do you know what I mean? Why am I delayed? Start to see purpose in the things that happen to you, opportunities that will come your way. I'll never forget the lady in the post office. In the queue, you know, there's always a post office in my queue. There's always a queue in my post office. And she turned around and spoke to the lady behind her. That woman started crying. Nobody had spoken to her purposefully in over a week. She was so lonely. Loneliness is an epidemic in this country. I won't go into the statistics and that. That's a kind of a work thing. But you don't know who needs just a friendly smile. So, you know, I try and purpose and say, you know, that's a nice dress. To a complete stranger at the bus stop. Now, some people may look at you and move, take one step over, but actually, it's just trying to stop and be still and know that God is God. Is there somebody in your world that he wants to influence right now? But too busy, if you're busy, 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 what do I need? What do I want? Where am I going? I. Let's put that aside and let's stop. And let's spiritually discern what God is saying. And it's about spiritual discernment rather than chasing after new things, new revelations. It's about a revelation from the Spirit of God to your spirit. Do you remember the king who wanted the latest revelations, the latest clothes and fancy things, you know? And one day two tailors came to him and said, Your Majesty, you know, they've got the latest new garments here, the latest clothes. And they said, oh, right, what is that? You know, and they're like, I haven't ever sample I brought with me. Here it is. They said, "What you say?" And he said, "Oh, are you seeing anything?" So he's good. They said, "I'm not seeing anything. Can you see anything?" He said, "Oh, only intelligent people can see the cloth. Now you can see it. Can't you all see this piece of cloth here? Can you see it? See the stitching? How lovely it is." And so the king said, "Oh, yes, I see it now, of course. Yes, yes, yes. Please make me some clothes out of that, you know." So off they went and they made him some clothes, and he was walking down the street in his lovely finery. And it was a little boy that said, "Why is the king naked?" You know, because the whole town had heard that only intelligent people can see this. So everybody said, "Oh, yes, yes. Oh, king, it's beautiful, beautiful." But the little boy said, "Actually, the king is naked." And so all I'm saying is that don't be carried along by the latest fads, fashions, doctrines. This person said that, that person said that. We can hear third hands, really, about what the Bible says. Let's go to the Bible for ourselves. Let's read the Bible for ourselves. So that when we have, the Bible says that you have to have an answer for the person that is coming to question you. But have your answer from the scripture so that you can know what the scripture says about it and not listening to what other people have said. The Bible may seem like it's a straightforward 66 books, but it needs to be spiritually discerned. And I say that with caution because people can use scripture to their own advantage. If you remember when Jesus was being tempted, the devil came to him and said, "It is written." When did the devil start reading the Bible? He knows what's written. And he said, "Is it not written that his angels will give himself charge over you? They will bear you up lest you dash yourself against a stone." To my recollection, that's Psalm 91, which I quote. Jesus could have said, "Of course it's written, that's it. Okay, I'm going to jump." Because that's what the devil was trying to tell him to do. He was trying to use scripture to get him to jump. And so that just tells me that actually scripture can be used in very many ways and we need to discern it spiritually. We need to read it. And I advise you, and I've started to do this. I usually pray after I read the Bible, but I've started to pray before I read the Bible so that actually what I'm reading is spiritually discerned. And so it's important that we are not just reading it carnally, through our own minds, the filter of our own minds, but that we're asking for God's revelation, spirit to spirit. Okay. Romans 8, verses 5 to 8. All things can be spiritually discerned. So it's not just about scriptural things, but it's all things. And if I can find Romans, I usually write out scriptures because, I had the tag in there. Okay, Romans 8, verses 5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, that's like an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." From verse 13 and 14. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And so it's really important that we are discerning all things. For to live according to the flesh and setting your mind on the things on the flesh, that is enmity against God. And we are those that want to be pleasing to God. We want to be in his favor. And we want his will to be done in our lives. And therefore, it's important that we are ensuring that everything that we do is spiritually discerned. You know, have you got major decisions to make? Then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't just limit these principles to spiritual things like Bible reading and church attendance. You can go to God and ask God for his wisdom about absolutely anything. Class preparation, how to approach a particular project, things that you're good at and things that you're not so good at. The other day, I've got a course starting on Tuesday about mindfulness, And I've prepared all the different courses. I thought, it's just so borders on Christianity, some of the things that I'm doing. And I really wish I could have some kind of Christian teaching. Anyway, that particular morning, I thought, I'm just going to pray about Christianity and mindfulness. Can I blend the two, Lord, you know? And then within that half an hour, I found a Christian mindfulness website. And I just felt that the Lord just really gave me that to say, look, you can do it in a Christian way. And I thought, that's great. But, you know, I thought, you know, I've been doing mindfulness practice, kind of a secular one, for the last 5 or 6 months. You know, if I'd have prayed 5 or 6 months ago, I could have been doing the Christian mindfulness one 5 or 6 months ago. But I left it until the week before the course starts. Anyway, all that to say is that whatever you're doing, there is, get God's mind on it, you know, about holidays, where you should go for holidays, what you should be doing. Just commit it. I pray in particular that you need to. When family, over Easter, we had 4 relatives come stay. You know, I just get God's mind on that. I pray about presents to buy, that I'm buying for people. You know, Lord, help me find a good present for such and such. And it's amazing how God is concerned about these things and how that they can all be spiritually discerned. And just to close, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight. And so we can see that it's important that we do not lose sight of our foundation, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified, that our faith should rely not on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, that we pay attention to spiritual discernment, really, that our spirits listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. But it's a transaction, it's a two-way transaction. You have to seek that as he then responds, and allowing our minds to be fed from our spirits, connected to God's Spirit. Amen. So we're going to sing a final hymn. But before we do, I never like to close the meeting without giving people the opportunity to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. So let's just bow our heads. And if it's okay with you, close your eyes. Nobody looking around. So if there's anybody here and you would like to ask Jesus Christ into your life, for him to become your personal Lord and Saviour, then if you could just raise your hand and I'll see your hand. Thank you. Okay, the rest of us, let's just think about opportunities that we've missed to walk on a higher level, being spiritually discerning of the things that we are engaged with. And let's just ask the Lord to lead us and to guide us by his Spirit afresh. Just pray quietly in your hearts.